From San Francisco, this is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight, Sheila takes you backstage for a behind-the-scenes visit with today's music makers.
Hi, I'm Sheila Renee. Tonight, we'll spend some time backstage with Ben Mott Tench, the keyboardist, songwriter, and a member of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers since they were called Mudcrutch back in Gainesville, Florida. Recently, he's played keyboards and worked with Bob Dylan. He was musical director and keyboardist on the Stevie Nicks LP, as well as co-writing a song with Stevie. He then played on the Del Shannon album with the rest of the Heartbreakers, went on tour with Stevie, and now Ben Mott's in the studio with Don Henley of Eagle fame. Quite a year, Ben Mott.
Sheila Renee Backstage will return in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is Ben Mott Tench, keyboardist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Ben Mott spent some time with me backstage after the sound check of the Stevie Nicks tour. He played keyboards on that tour as well as musical director. We spent some time talking about his work with Dylan, with Stevie, and with Del Shannon. That'll be our second segment tonight. Ben Mott's not used to giving interviews, but I think you'll get a really good look into his soul and his mind.
She laughed in my face, told me goodbye. Don't think about it, you can go crazy. Anything can happen, anything can end. Don't try to fight it, don't try to save me. She's a woman in love.
She's a woman in love.
Sheila Renee backstage. Welcome, it's Benmont Tench.
Hi, Sheila.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I want to thank you very much for your time here after soundcheck. Great to have you in town. But what we're here to talk about today is the revenge of Benmont Tench. You've had it this year, Ben. You've had it. I mean, so many exciting things have happened to you. And maybe to put them in perspective, we'll just start at a particular point, maybe with Dylan. We all know sort of from your background that you're definitely a fan of Dylan's.
Yeah.
And I think it must have been very exciting to be able to do that album with him.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was kind of nerve-wracking for the first 5 or 10 minutes. But then it settled in really easy. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of stay up all night and play some of his songs and some old Elvis songs and then back to some of his songs, back to some Elvis songs.
Was there ever a time when you were working with Dylan when Wood was there? I mean, Ringo, did you do any parts where you all worked together and had some time to get to know each other?
No, that was the night I wasn't there. I went in one night, they said, see you day after tomorrow, came in day after tomorrow, and they said, oh yeah, Woody and Ringo were here last night. Yeah.
Out of an idle woods, probably a reprobate mind, clinging to strange promises, dying on the line. Never being able to separate the good from the bad. Oh, I can't stand it, I can't stand it, it's making me feel so sad. Hit me.
Dylan album was already in the process before the Nicks album started? Is that the progression?
I met Chuck Plotkin, who produced the Dylan album with Bob, while I was doing Stevie's record.
Already doing Stevie's. Yours
yeah.
is pretty much finished with Tom Petty.
Ours was finished.
Right. So I'm trying to get the...
We finished up our album, and I started working with Stevie because Jimmy Iovine, our producer, was producing Stevie. And I met Chuck Plotkin because he's an old friend of Jimmy's, and he was coming down to Stevie's sessions and throwing in his ideas of what to do with different tracks. And we got along real well. And so when Chuck wound up doing Dylan's record, he called me up, said, come on down. So I said, okay, I think I can squeeze that in.
When you were playing with Dylan, did you think about playing any differently than you would, say, with Tom Petty or when you played with Stevie? And, of course, we've still got to talk about the Del Shannon experience. That's four albums in 1981 for Benmont Tench. And you're in the studio now with Don Henley.
Well, we were there last night.
It was working on that album?
Mm-hmm. We went down to L.A. and just flew back in here to do the Oakland Coliseum.
To the wall.
Let's talk a little bit about your playing, though. You play with Tom, and then you go out and you play with Dylan. Do you change your style any, consciously or unconsciously, do you think, from Tom?
The style might change unconsciously, but Tom writes such a wide variety of music, so many different kinds of songs, that you have to be pretty versatile to keep up with his songs. So you just tailor the way you play to the individual song. I don't know if so much to the individual artist. Yeah. I only know about four licks and four settings on the Hammond anyway, so.
Well, you're still pretty partial to the Hammond, aren't you?
I'm very partial.
I don't know that you've ever played anything else.
Well, for a long time I just played piano, and then after the first Heartbreakers album, when we went out on the road, I took a Hammond along, and I sort of learned to play it during our first tour and while we were making the You're Gonna Get It record, by listening to what Tom and Denny Cordell and Noah Shark would say about, well, play this here, play that there, no, play it louder here, no, we want a more growly kind of sound. So they taught me to play.
A good keyboard player is worth his weight in gold. In Ben Mott's case, he's worth double his weight. The sound and textures that he gets are a trademark of the Tom Petty Band.
This is Sheila Renee backstage. Tonight's guest is Benmont Tench, keyboardist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Benmont didn't take his music seriously until he was in college. Then he had to make up his mind and decide whether to follow a musical path or not, and at the same time convince his father it was okay to play rock and roll.
There's a fun story about you growing up, going to Tulane, and your father, you know, asking you what you're doing, and you're telling him you're teaching these musicians, rather than actually confessing up, look, Dad, I'm playing in this rock and roll band.
What I did was I told my father after 2 years of college that I was playing with this band on vacation. And the vacation just sort of kept going on, and my sister was going to the same school I was going to. She went back up for the next semester, and I just stayed on and played with the band.
Ah, see.
And I kept saying, well, I don't have to go until later. I start next semester, and he caught on.
How does he look today at your success? Does he give you a lot of credit for...
Oh, he loves it. He's real happy about it.
You finally convinced him now that...
Oh, yeah. He's totally behind it.
Don't it feel like something driven dream? Yeah, I never know nothing quite like this. Don't it
Tell me what a musical director's chores are, for instance, on the Stevie Nicks album. That's what they give you credit for, as well as playing keyboards.
Yeah, I looked on the back of the record and I saw musical director, and I still haven't been able to find out from Stevie and Jimmy exactly what a musical director is. I think I put in so many hours on the record that they decided to call me a musical director. Finished tracking the Hard Promises album, Jimmy asked me if I would go down to where Stevie lived and spend some time with her working on the songs that she had already finished or partially finished, and picking the ones that I thought were the best of the bunch. So I went down and worked with her on the songs themselves for two or three months before we actually went in and started cutting the record. And maybe that's where it comes from, the musical director bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sitting around a piano a couple hours a night, bashing out chords.
Yeah.
Saying, what if we put this part there? And her saying, no, it stays where I said it goes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the fun of music, I would think, from the musician side, is putting all the blocks together and talking over different ideas. In fact, Kind of Woman, that you wrote the music for on Stevie's album, was that a co-collaboration, or, I mean, did you actually work on it side by side, or ship your ideas off in the mail or whatever?
It was kind of shipping the ideas off in the mail. She had the song. It was a song she had had for 2 or 3 years, I think, and it was really pretty. She'd stay up late at night in the studio and play it over and over on the piano, and we really wanted to do it, but it seemed like there was something missing. So Jimmy asked me if I would come up with a bridge for it, something different to put a guitar solo over or whatever. So I went home and thought about it, came back the next day and said, bridge. So I didn't really write much to that song. I think I wrote the middle eight, as they call it. Where the key change is, where Waddy comes screaming in with a guitar solo.
Close, she pleads to heaven, kind of woman.
this year, I mean, we're talking four albums of working with some of the best musicians in the world.
I know, I don't know what happened. I've been really lucky. Jimmy turned me on to most of them. Tommy started it all by turning me on to Jimmy, I guess.
Yeah.
By just getting involved with Jimmy.
Well, I think probably it all started way back in the Mudcrutch days with Tom. I mean, just natural events have propelled you all into various situations. Needless to say, the rest of the Heartbreakers have not been as active as you have, and I'm curious if this is going to be a trend for you. I mean, you seem to have boundless energy, boundless ideas, and you're obviously finding time to do all these things.
I have boundless time to kill.
Boundless time to kill. Well, I mean, when you and Tom are off the road, of course you have time. But you, as we've already discussed, were doing some of these things overlapping.
Well, the band comes first.
Tom Petty comes first.
Yeah.
And the Heartbreakers.
The band comes first. But currently I've been working with Henley, and we're on tour with Stevie right now. I'm playing with Stevie on the road because Tom and Mike are writing our next record. So there isn't, you know, I've got the free time. It's worked out really nicely.
I don't want you no more.
Whatever you want to call it, fate or luck, it's played a part in Benmont's career. His schedule keeps him busy, and the projects will always be there. It's just a matter of choosing the right ones and maintaining perspective, because Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers come first with Benmont. We'll be right back with more from Benmont Tench.
Hi, this is Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys. You know that the federal minimum wage is $3.35 an hour for most workers. That's right, $3.35 an hour. If you're not being paid $3.35 per hour, and you think you should be, call the nearest wage and hour office today. This message is brought to you as a public service announcement by the U.S. Department of Labor, this station, and the Oak Ridge Boys.
Sheila Renee Backstage will return in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is Benmont Tench, keyboardist for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
In the world of rock and roll, changes can be the name of the game. Not so with Benmont. He's happy with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and doesn't see himself stepping out anywhere in the near future.
chance you'll have a tune on the new Petty?
There is a chance, but I don't like to say too much about it because it might be bad luck.
Do you ever stop and think about what's happened since you left Gainesville? I mean, your whole life has been changed.
It's gotten a lot better, that's for sure.
It just seems that people who are really busy never stop and really think about what they've done. They just keep doing it.
Well, if you've done it, you don't need to think about it. When you've done it, it's good. It's all well and good. And you should move ahead to whatever the next thing you're going to do is.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of letting them fall in my lap. Like, I haven't been trying to get sessions together. I haven't been calling people up and saying, hey, I want to work, but I've been getting work, and I've been getting to work with some really excellent songwriters and singers.
Days go by like a strand in the wind, in the web that is.
Could there ever be a solo album from Benmont Tench?
Let's hope not.
You would never be interested in getting a group of guys, instead of being called up, being the one to call up?
If I did anything on my own, I'd call up everybody who's in the band I'm in, probably. Because they're my best friends.
Yeah.
They're the guys that I really
wondered,
get off playing with. I don't know if I would want to do a solo album. I don't know if I have the nerve to. It takes a lot of nerve, a lot of guts to put your voice out over the air.
But you sing so well with Tom. I mean, your backups with...
Well, a few...
Lanch and...
Me and Stan are the kings of the... I need to know. We can do that. Don't have to live like a refugee. You know, we can sometimes choke one of those out. It's a little high. But
oh, yes.
Do a few yeah-yes, but
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the world is ready.
Good.
Definitely tell if it was me or Memorex. I got a voice that could shatter plastic cups.
Put what was the best, I'm sure, because they all fall pretty much right up there in the high category. But I know that Del is an old...
I love Del Shannon. Del Shannon wrote Go to Pieces. Del Shannon is permanently enshrined somewhere for having written Go to Pieces alone.
Just that one alone.
And nobody can sing like he can. And he can still sing as well as he sang when he sang Runaway. He probably sings better.
Love you. Do you remember?
Petty's collaboration with Del Shannon has to be one of the musical highlights of the year. With Benmont on keyboards and Petty producing, Del Shannon might become a household word to a whole new group of fans. We'll return and talk with Del Shannon.
This is Sheila Renee backstage. The guest in the last part of tonight's show is Del Shannon.
Del Shannon put on a dynamite show in San Francisco recently at the Stone, playing many of his new songs off the Drop Down and Get Me LP, produced by Tom Petty and featuring all of the Heartbreakers. The band on tour with Del includes Howie Epstein on bass, he was also on the album, Gary Johnson on keyboards, Rob Brill on drums, and Steve Hufstetter on lead guitar. This new studio album comes 13 years after his last effort on vinyl in the USA, and only took about 30 days out of 2 years' time waiting for Tom's availability. Sea of Love is the first single on this new LP, and Del has never played or sung better in his life. I didn't get a lot of time with Del on this tour, but there's still a lot of insight into this rock and roll legend. Let's listen.
There she is, she's standing out on the street. You're telling me she's the kind of girl you'd like to meet. Well, let me tell you, friend, I got a lot of fat. She's a spider, don't let her catch you in her trap. I know she looks so good, I'd help you if I could. Tell you what she'll do, she'll make a fool. She wants, she leaves, then she goes underground. And I can tell you that she'll never change or leave away. Just ask around, but I can tell you what they're all gonna say. But I can tell you this for sure.
listen, the new song that you did for us tonight. What a piece of cake that is.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. You must be able to write on the road if you did that just a couple of months ago.
I tell you, I try to write on the road. I can write if I'm on, like, I write songs strange places, like, and I never have my my tape with me. Like today I was writing a song on stage when we were having a sound check. The boys thought I had worked on it a long time, and I just wrote it today. But I did have my road manager write down the chords, at least, you know. Probably lost the feel of it. But no, I only sing it on the road. I wrote it about 2 months ago at home. I write a lot at home. I don't know, I get strange feelings when I'm on the road to write. You know, I have to be... Maybe I'm insecure yet, you know, I don't know. I've always been sort of insecure. I'm a lot, much more secure than I used to be. But I can't explain it. Like today, I said, why can't I sit down and write a song now? One reason is because I can't have my guitar amp in the room and blast away. I love to write loud and with my echo machine and the whole works, you know.
Oh. Mm.
And I just chang away, you know, after 10 o'clock. And I don't have very many neighbors. And
how great.
I'm sure they probably hear me after 10, you know, but that's too bad.
Dale, this band you have put together, my man,
is kickers,
absolutely brilliant. These guys are so strong that they're almost like you live better than I like the album already.
That's why I can't wait now to get back in the studio again, you know. I mean, the Heartbreakers are such great pickers, but we didn't have a lot of time to work together. We worked 2.5 years, 30 days only in the studio.
I know.
I'd see Tom about a half hour before the session, and I'd play him the songs. He'd be, great, let's go in, and I'd teach the Heartbreakers the songs, and 4 hours later, we'd be done, you know, except, you know, for the overdubbing and stuff. So that's how we recorded, and it's just great, you know, but it is great to have your own band, you know, especially such great pickers like, you know.
Oh.
I mean, I wrote, like, the new song I wrote tonight, you know, which I wrote, like I said, a couple months ago.
Cheap Love.
Yeah. And, man, I went out to the restroom, and I came back, and Steve already had this instrumental part in it with that great guitar lick in it, you know, which is so important anyway. I had an organ part in it, and I came back, and they said, what do you think of this? And I said, forget it, that's it, you know, and I wouldn't change it for anything now.
Da, 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 da.
just great working with them. You know, it's just, they're young and they're aggressive and they love to rock, and we just, and they're just very mild offstage, which I prefer. I don't like a lot of, so I used to party and I used to drink and smoke, and I don't do many of those things. So we have one smoker we're trying to convert, and then we can roll the windows up in the car. Yes.
You've got to be real happy about being here today. I mean, you have...
Oh, I am really overjoyed to be anywhere
I
today.
Mean, to be back on the road again, Dale.
Well, I've been on the road, but not like it is today.
A couple of years ago,
I wasn't on the road. I took 2 years off, 2 or 3 years off, you know, waiting for Petty to come off the road. Yeah. He went to the lawsuit, and then he went with his new album, and then...
You finally won yours, didn't you? You got the rights to your song, bless your heart.
And as long as I got them, and I'm not resentful, that's the key. To be resentful is a very bad thing. To hold and be grudgeful against those people, and it's as if I never did anything wrong in my life, you know. So it's all forgiven and it's groovy. And in fact, is my producer was a partner of the man who I had to take to court and everything. And he was at the show and I introduced him and he did a nice thing with him. You know, God, I saw him backstage. I hadn't seen him in so long. And it was just a joy to have him in Los Angeles there. You know, and the place was packed and it was just a great show. And it was just a joy to see him there and forget all those old feelings and lawyers and all that junk and just. Because that's where it was all about music anyway, you know?
Oh, yes.
And when it gets into lawyers and legal things, you know, I don't even talk to presidents of companies anymore or nothing. When I do, it's just about, hey, how you doing? And how's the weather? Oh, see my lawyer about the weather. You know, they don't even comment about the weather. And that's the way it is today. It's all lawyers. You know, and even if you want to write with somebody, you know, you got to sit down and before you write, you got to talk about, we got to split this, and it's never used to be that way, but I guess it has to be that way. It's grown so big, rock and roll is so big, and it's okay. You know?
Thanks to Ben Montench and to Del Shannon for your music and the time we had to talk. Elektra Asylum in San Francisco, Lookout Management in Los Angeles, and Sue with Del Shannon. Great working with all of you. Next week, the guests will be Rendy Ross and Marv Ross with the new group Quarter Flash, plus a brief look at Gary Myrick and the Figures' new LP, Living in a Movie. I'll be back in a moment. Be kind to each other. Until next time, I'm Sheila Renee, and I'll be backstage again next week.
Sheila Renee Backstage was produced by Stephen Dunwoody and Billy Vega for the Broadcast Arts Group. This has been another Out of the Bag production.